So let's turn to the book of Romans 12. Last time we saw in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, we saw how Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And we saw that this is a sacrifice was made. Who does the sacrifice? Only the priest does the sacrifice. And we are called a royal priesthood. And we saw even our bodies, you know, how we try to cover that nakedness, and now our body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. So sacrifice is a lifestyle, living sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice, it's a living sacrifice. Usually the priest, he go to the altar to sacrifice. Where do we go? We don't have to come to church to sacrifice. Our sacrifice is a lifestyle. The altar is everywhere. And today, so we are going to continue on Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says here, "And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here we see that we are living in a real world, and we will see the reality that we face in a real world as a Christian. Of course, we are called the priesthood. We are a royal priesthood to the Lord, and we are to be holy, and our bodies, we sacrifice our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a lifestyle. But as a Christian, we do not live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. Now, we are living in a world where the world is angry at God. And here we are in that world. The world is not peace with God. Don't believe what the Christmas says on those slogans. The world is angry at God. Only the Christians can have peace with God. So here, when in our sacrifice to the Lord, the world can be a hindrance for our relationship with the Lord. Now I said, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 talks about the relationship towards God. The balance, verse 3 onwards, the entire Romans chapter 12 talks about our relationship with one another. And here we need to understand, Apostle Paul is saying here, now as a priest, you know, you priest goes to the Holy of Holies, right? In the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, he is totally separated from the world. Okay, that's where the very presence of God is there, in the Holy of Holies, absolutely, totally separated from the world. And he goes there and he makes his sacrifice, and he has a relationship with God. He's the one who communicates to God, okay, on behalf of the people. And here we are called a royal priesthood, and we are the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now Paul goes on to say, of course, you are a royal priesthood, you have to be holy, but there is a hindrance. The hindrance is going to be the world, because you are living in a real world. There will be temptations, problems, obstacles. And he goes on to say, now he says, and be not conformed to this world. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, 5, why this world? Not to be conformed to this world. Luke chapter 4, verse 5, if you can remember, during the temptation of Jesus, the devil taking up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And what did the devil tell Jesus? I will give all this to you if you bow down
bow and worship to me. Here we see a hindrance for our relationship with the Lord. And the devil put that temptation in Jesus Christ, where he wanted to have a hindrance, his relationship with the Father, and he brought the world in between. In the same way, Paul is saying, don't conform to this world. If you remember, in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You see the difference here. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So the world there's a big difference in the world and the kingdom of God. There's a hindrance for Christians who want to worship the Lord in truth and spirit, wants to have a relationship with God. That is the world. That's why Paul is saying, don't conform to this world. You know the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not. The glorious gospel of Christ had been hidden because God of this world have blinded their mind. So Satan is the God of the world. Okay? And his kingdoms are the glories of the kingdom, where Christians sometimes can get caught up in these worldly affairs. John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Prince of this world, who is Satan, cometh. So here Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean by Paul saying, don't conform to this world? Does it mean that we cannot wear clothes from Kmart and Walmart? Cannot go anywhere? Does it mean that we cannot drive a car, we cannot go to a place and buy a car, rent a car, because that's where the world goes? Does it mean that we cannot go to McDonald's and get a hamburger? Does it mean that we need to be totally separated from every aspect of the world? In that case, we need to live in the jungles. In that case, we cannot, we need to leave this world. And we need to live in a little bubble. In that case, we cannot go to the grocery store. In that case, we cannot live in this world. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, he said, occupy in this world till I come. Luke chapter 19, verse 13, he said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, talking about the gifts, and said unto them, occupy until comes. Until his second coming, he tells, hey, you got to occupy in this world until he comes. In John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Meaning, Jesus said, my prayer is not the Father will take us from out of the world, but keep us in the world, protecting from the enemy. So what is the meaning when Paul says, do not conform to the world? Not in a civil sense, but in a moral sense. You understand? Conforming not in a civil sense, but in a moral sense. Otherwise, we had to leave our jobs. How most of our, employers, they are evil, right? They are Christians. So here, not in a civil sense, but in a moral sense. We need to understand that very clearly. The word conform comes from the Greek word mesukepmesiche, meaning that we do not have the habit of being fashioned or do not conform to another pattern, meaning don't fashion yourself. And you will see the same word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 31. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 7:31, Paul said, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away, meaning that they use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. So you see, the fashion of this world is not going to stay long. It's going to pass away. Everything, the worldly things, the fashion of the world is all going to pass away. It means that we are not to be conformed to the fashion of the moral behavior of the world. We are to be different. We are not to be fashioned to the moral behavior of the world. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 and 15, Peter goes on to say, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. See that? We don't fashion according to the former lust. That means the lust we used to have before, in the former way of life, in our moral behavior is totally changed. We don't follow that kind of moral behavior anymore. We are changed. We are different. We don't fashion according to that way. We don't copy the world. We are being changed by the power of God. And Peter goes on to say, which he had called you is holy. That means we need to be separated. Without a separation in our moral behavior, we cannot have a relationship with God. So Peter goes on to say, so be holy in all manner of what? Conversation. That means the way we talk, our conversation should not be like the ungodly. Not like the worldly people, where they love to pick on somebody and make fun, and they use bad words and cuss and what they talk is worldly material things, and all they talk is money, and we should not be like that. And also, of course, today we see there are so many churches that has been conformed to the world. I mean, churches are very worldly today. So as Christians, we should not be conformed to the worldly churches and follow their pattern. There are worldly churches who call themselves who are Christians, but they are very worldly. The pastors, the leaders, they are worldly. I mean, the word is very weak. It's a weak doctrine. We don't hear them. Turn the radio off. You don't know whom to hear on the radio today. You don't go to those churches. Leave away, because they are going to, you don't follow that kind of churches. Because in our behavior, we do not conform to the world. Of course, some of you went to the luncheon yesterday, right? Some of you. And there was a prayer, and after that there was worldly dancing and music. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy of Holies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning our temple is called the Holy of Holies. So we should not secretly enjoy the music and dancing. You know, you can say, oh, I'm not dancing, but I don't sing, but you can secretly enjoy in your heart. God sees your heart. So, but we need to grieve and pray for those people. our hearts should be grieving, not enjoying and having pleasure. There's a difference there. When Jesus saw Jerusalem, he grieved and he prayed, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have stoned the prophets." There should be a grieving in sin. And that's how we should be as a priest who is coming to sacrifice his body. When he sees sin around, we should be grieving of sin, not having any pleasure of sin, saying, "I don't do it, but you know," and enjoy the sin. And no, not that's not the way to do it. So we should not be participants with other people in their sins. Some people might say, "Well, you know what? I don't do adultery, I don't gossip, I don't do those things and so forth like that." But you can watch TV on those things. Huh? And you can really enjoy that TV, and all what is shown is adultery, gossip and things like that. Hey, you don't do it, but you're in your heart, you're already a participant. So talk about not copying the world. Tell you, it's Christmas time, huh? What is the center of Christmas time? It's the center is Santa Claus. You know what? All religions participate in Christmas. Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, they all have a Christmas tree. And it has become a worldly event. And it's all worldly. If Santa Claus is the center. And that's the time where people go mauling, spend their all the money that they have worked so much in mauling, and finding all kinds of materials, and the world is advertising sales, and you know, and you're looking through the papers, and you know, hiding the papers, and going to mauling, and this mall, that mall, and you know, you're very excited in that. Paul said, don't copy the world. And the time and the money that is spent for that, you're spending to the devil, not to the Lord. Just imagine what is really Christmas is. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. If you can remember how Jesus said in verse 31, man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people and one from another. A shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him. Note the word righteous. People think who are religious people. They will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or you know?" And you can go and say, and Jesus said, the king will reply, "I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me tell you, Jesus was not born in December 25th. That's number one. Okay. Number two is, if Jesus says, if it's his birthday, you had to give a birthday gift to who? To Jesus. Alright, can you give a birthday gift to Jesus? He has given us everything. We can give nothing to him. Jesus said, hey, giving is to who? To the poor. Just like Art and Robert went to that little village in Mexico. Huh? Giving stuff. And that is, God says, you have given unto me when you give to this least of these. They were hungry and they were fed. They didn't have clothes and here give clothes and so forth like that. And that is truly giving. And of course, you know, so when the world says do not conform to the world, you know, so we should not follow the patterns and so forth like that. What is happening right now, the Christmas season is extremely worldly. But can you give a card to a friend, to a relative? I'll tell you, I'll give a card, but I'll mention Jesus is for all seasons, not only for a particular season. He's for all seasons, and you can give the gospel, the booklet. What a time to give on an event like this. You can use it for God's glory. Use the time for God's glory and preach the gospel. Give the gospel booklet. Give a card and witness to them. And Jesus is the Lord for all seasons. And we can get caught up in the lust of the world. And Apostle Paul said, don't copy the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 2. 16 and 17. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abide forever. Let me tell you, when you get tempted with the lust of the eyes, with the lust of the flesh, you need to be like Jesus, how when he was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was tempted with an overburdened temptation. He said, Father, help me, you know. And yes, his flesh didn't want to go to the cross, but what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. When you get tempted with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, you say, Father, I get tempted, but not my will. My will is to do my flesh, but not my will, but your will be done. Now the problem is, if you don't conform to the worldly behavior, what does the world will think of you? They think you're weird. They think you're strange. They think, hey, they will make fun out of you. They will mock at you. And they will make all kinds of accusations of you. They will make all look for some kind of evil. And, you know, they are not going to be friendly with you. Because, turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4:4. James says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself what? An enemy of God. Wow, pretty heavy scriptures there. Means what? James called them adulteresses. You are committing spiritual adultery because you have only one God, one Father, and you don't go and you cannot come to the church and say, God, I love you, okay? I really love you. I want to adore you. I want to worship you. At the same time, you go and conform to the world. Then you are committing spiritual adultery. So the friendship with the world, that's where we need to be very careful as Christians. We should not conform to the behavior pattern of the world. We have to get out of it. And we get out, of course, the world is going to hate you. John chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus said, John 15, 18. What did Jesus say? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Here we see, if the world is going to hate you, they are hating you because they hated me first, before you. Why was Jesus crucified? The world hated him. The world wanted to release Barabbas. With one voice they cried out, "Release a murderer, Barabbas, and crucify him who hasn't done anything wrong." The world hates Jesus. Of course, today, the world loves the little baby Jesus. In a little picture, in a manger, baby Jesus, you find that. Go to any worldly store, what are you hearing? Little hymns about the baby Jesus. Not the Lord God Almighty, the Holy God, the awesome God, the God who hates sin. In John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now let me tell you something. When you're working at your workplace, the world is not going to hate you because you are there for a limited time. And you are involved in your work, of course. You work and you show you are a Christian and you work unto the Lord. And in that sense, the world is not going to hate you because you are working for the Lord and the boss is saying he's doing a good job and it's great. But if you are going to extend that time with the world for a little while, or you go on a trip, or a vacation with the people, or something like that, events happen, you know, you are going to extend your time, and then they will see, then they will get into other stuff, and then you don't do their stuff, that's the time they will say, "Man, this person is weird. Huh? He's weird." And the world will hate you. And John chapter 16, of course, verse 33 says, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. If the world, but in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When you really go and live with other people, with another city or different people, your relatives especially, if the trials and persecution comes with your closest people that you had a relationship before. And they will tell you, "You're changed. You're different. You're weird. What happened to you?" And there will be trials and tribulations. That's what the early Christians went through. So how can we be different in this world? Need to be transformed. Need a transformation. Need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to talk on the renewing of mind later. But let's see the word transformed. The Greek word for transform is metamorphosis, comes from the word metamorpho. Our English word is metamorphosis. It's a word that has been taught in college. In high school, well, the subject is zoology, right? Zoology. Metamorphosis means visible change in form of during the life of an animal. That means in complete metamorphosis, a clear distinction exists between the various stages of an animal development. A good example is a caterpillar. A caterpillar is not very good looking. You don't want to touch a caterpillar. It's ugly looking. It's a worm that, you know, really gross to look at. But that caterpillar undergoes a metamorphosis. And then afterward comes a beautiful, perfect butterfly. Now, that is what is called, as Christians, we need to be transformed. Meaning, before we became a Christian, we were like a caterpillar. That means in our sins, we had the worldly behavior. ugly. We were enmity with God. Okay? We had all kinds of sinful passions, lust of the eyes, lust of everything, and we will do anything what we want to. Now, we have been regenerated, that inside in us, we have the beauty of Christ, like a beautiful scripture. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. The word transform means it's a visible transformation, but here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 says, and this is Jesus in his transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And here we see there was a visible transfiguration of Jesus Christ, as his face was just like the sun shining. His entire body was radiant in color. And there was a radical change in the appearance of Jesus Christ. So when Apostle Paul uses this word, as a Christian, we need to be transformed. It means that we need to have a radical change in the inner man. You understand? We need to have a radical change, now outwardly. You know, we can put all kinds of makeup, lipstick and everything what you want to do, and nice clothes, jacket, tie. That's not what he's talking. He's talking the inner man. Okay? He's talking in your behavior, in your conduct. There got to be a transformation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, also we see this word. 2 Corinthians 3:18, how Apostle Paul said, but we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Here we'll see another transformation that is going to happen when the Lord appears. That we are going to be changed from glory to glory. So what Paul is saying here, that our inner man, there got to be a radical change in our inner man, our inside in us, our behavior. We need to be different than the world. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said what? You are the light of the world. Hey, light. You can see the light very clearly. You don't see, you know, the light is shining. It's very clear. So there got to be a clear evidence in your inner behavior, a radical change in your inner behavior. Mm-hmm. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let me close up with this. Philippians 2:12, I'll go to another scripture after that. Paul said, therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me tell you, Paul is not talking here that we had to work for our salvation. He is talking here that after we are regenerated, we need to grow in our salvation, in our sanctification, in fear and trembling. That means we need to be doing that in humility and in submission to God, having a reverence and a godly fear for Lord. That means what? Fear of sin. Fear of separation from the world. That means fear of sin and a thirst for godliness. That means we need to break our idols. And sin and ourselves should be abandoned. And we need to concentrate and adore on God and serving God alone. Let me close out with this scripture, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. And after that, next week, I will go on how we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Titus 2, 11 to 14, Paul goes on to say, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." What do you see in this scripture? You see that it is the grace of God that made us into a royal priesthood. Hey, do we deserve to be a royal priesthood? No. It is the grace of God that made us into a royal priesthood. It is because of the grace of God that we can have a relationship with God. It is by the grace of God we don't have to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Now, two great obstacles that need to be removed here. There are two big obstacles that are standing on our way. Number one, as I said, that's the world. Okay. Number two is ungodliness. The world is always connected to the lust of the flesh. Okay. The world is always connected to the lust of the flesh. That means, what did the devil do? He brought Jesus.